So when we talk about management then of patients with targetable mutations who, you're going to kind of consider as a group, I guess you would include EGFR, ALK, ROS1, BRAF. What else would you include? RET at this point, HER2. How do you break them down into, this phenotype where you're rethinking IOs? And so which targetable things are we talking about? And what's the role, if any, of PD-L1 levels? I've heard that some of these patients, like with ALK, have PD-L1 and don't respond. Does TMB fit into these patients? How do you see all these, the targetable patients, in terms of IOs and tissue assays?
So I would concentrate on the four major alterations, which is EGF, ALK, ROS1, and BRAF. We have very few data on RET. We have very few data on MET14 skipping. And there's one alteration which is clearly different, that is KRAS, which is the most frequent molecular alteration in lung cancer. We do know that KRAS does not respond to any targeted therapy, but we have data that they might respond to immunotherapy. So I would separate KRAS from the four others, which are EGF, ALK, ROS1, and BRAF. So for these four alterations, in each time, I would start with a targeted therapy, and I would normally offer them a chemotherapy at time of relapse. But now we have this perhaps new opportunity to offer them the combination of immunotherapy and chemotherapy. Coming back to the question of the PD-L1 expression, it's true. There are patients with an ALK translocation and a 90% PD-L1 expression on the tumor cells. And I also have seen patients with an EGF receptor mutation and a high PD-L1 level. But we have some data that suggest that the PD-L1 expression in this type of oncogenic alterated tumor is different from the PD-L1 expression from a non-oncogenic alterated tumor with regard of the biological importance and the biological impact on tumor proliferation. So we have seen, even in patients with an EGF receptor mutation and a high PD-L1 expression, only a very minor response to a treatment with a checkpoint inhibitor. So we really have to say the oncogenic alteration is the major finding. The PD-L1 expression is a secondary finding, but it's not comparable to the PD-L1 expression in a non-oncogenic alterated tumor.
So in a younger patient, the non-smoker, the EGFR, et cetera, would you consider also looking at tumor mutation burden? And I want you to imagine you have a formulary of any drug you want. Just forget regulatory issues. Would you look at tumor mutation burden? Let's say a patient who's progressing on osimertinib, okay? Would you look at tumor mutation burden? Would you look at PD-L1? And if you were going to offer them a combination, what exact agents would you like to use?
Well, if she is progressing on osimertinib and I have no clear targetable alteration, I would like to give her a combination of checkpoint inhibitor and chemotherapy. Currently, the only data which are available are for the combination of atezolizumab and platinum-based chemotherapy. So I would go for the schedule. But whether or whether not she has a tumor mutational burden, I think in that situation, that doesn't help me. I think independent from any tumor mutational burden or PD-L1 expression, I would offer this young patient the combination of immunotherapy and chemotherapy.
And again, atezolizumab, carbo, and what?
Yes, currently I would go for paclitaxel or nab-paclitaxel.
And what about bevacizumab?
Yes, I would try it. So I think this is something of the secret of the data, that the combination of atezolizumab and bevacizumab was in that schedule that has been used in the IMpower150. So I would try to give the patient this four-drug combination, atezolizumab, bevacizumab, and carboplatin with paclitaxel or nab-paclitaxel.